Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
A new exhibit happening at the Science Center Singapore, talking about what's going on the Earth. Earth Alive is what it's called. Benjamin Horton, also the director of the Earth Observatory, with us, along with Lim Tit Meng, chief executive of the Science Center. Gentlemen, good morning. Welcome back to the show. We've had you both on quite a number of times and always happy to have you with us.
Good morning.
Oh, look at this. Before we even start, Professor Horton, there we go. Now, that's a backdrop. If you're going to come on this show, have a proper backdrop. There you go. He's got the original Star Wars trilogy, the definitive Star Wars trilogy. If that's not a reason to tune in, I don't know what
Ben
is.
It doesn't take much to thrill Neil, so you've just proven that.
It's an icebreaker on many of the Zoom.
Correct.
There you go. Tit Meng, tell us what's happening now. What's going on at the Science Center as it relates to our environment?
Well, we have been working with the Earth Observatory Singapore for many years. In fact, the EOS is one of those early research center of excellence that worked closely with us, and they never stopped since day one when they started showing their research. Mm. And this is a new launch, new remake, so to speak, of Earth Alive. And we collaborated with the San Francisco Exploratorium. So this exploratorium is actually a very famous science center, and our people work with them together with the Earth Observatory Singapore scientists. Mm. And we co-created quite a few of such exhibits to talk about how our Earth is really very dynamic, is under threat in some sense, and also showcasing a lot of the scientific research from the EOS. It is really bringing out awareness of how we should protect our planet Earth.
Yeah, I was there last week with my daughter last Saturday, and Professor Horton, one of the aspects of the Earth Alive exhibition that I particularly liked was it was encouraging visitors, generations, to take ownership of the problem. There was one particular exhibit that I liked where it's hard to explain, you know, people have to go down and do it themselves, but you keep being asked, would you get involved in this? And you have to press buttons. And the gist of this particular exhibit was, would you step up and do something, or would you sit back and do nothing? Mm. And that was very much a theme, for me anyway, for the family, of this Earth Alive exhibit, which is take responsibility, take ownership of your planet and the issue of climate change. Was that something very important for you this time around, Professor Horton, to really engage visitors?
Well, I think being an Earth scientist, well, we're obviously very, very aware that we only have one planet, and therefore we need to look after it. And so that's one of the aspects of the exhibit, is to show the unique wonders of our planet and how it works. But there's a more practical side of it as well. So whenever I'm interviewed regarding climate change, one of the end questions is always, well, what can we do about it?
Yeah. You know?
And we have to think about how our actions, there's a climate exhibit there, how our actions can reduce the emissions of greenhouse gases. And, you know, you have a variety of things in your life about if you were going to the science centre, use the public transport, use the MRT rather than your private car or a taxi. You can think about what food were you eating during your trip. Try to eat less red meat. And there are these and countless other actions that you can take to save the planet that we live on.
Yeah, I mean, as a smug vegetarian, I absolutely loved every aspect of it. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was terrific. I like the centerpiece. It was, just correct me if I'm wrong, it was Earth Alive that has the centerpiece with the map on the floor. Is that correct, of Singapore?
Yes, I absolutely loved
that. And I'm just curious first, what was the thinking behind that, Professor Horton, to have that map of Singapore? And it's really prominent, and it really leaps out of the ground. It's brilliant. I'm just curious to know what the thinking of that was.
Well, the thinking of that is to place yourself on planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this case, place yourself on Singapore. So you can see that you are part of a community, part of an island, which is part of Southeast Asia, which is part of the world. And I think that's one of the aspects of it. You know, the astronauts that first went into space, one of the things that they always come back is when they look at the Earth, how fragile it is. Yeah. Small, fragile in a big cosmos. Yeah. So when you can look down at where you live, where your HDB is or your condo, where you live, and place it within the context of Singapore, and how you start to realise how things are interconnected.
Before Ken jumps in, sorry, I was just going to say that we had a NASA astronaut on this show, didn't we, Katie Coleman, and that was the first thing that she said: when you leave Earth, you appreciate Earth more.
And Titmang, you know, when you look at this Earth Alive display that you have going on, this interactive display, I know it's not the first time you've done this at Science Center, this type of interaction and display. Yeah. How is this one different, and why do you feel like maybe this one might be a more important one to have at this particular moment in time?
Precisely as what we just talked about, as astronaut, when you look from space at the blue planet, the beauty and the whole idea of this blue planet is so unique, really strikes our heart. And this is something very special. At the heart of this Earth Alive exhibition is Gaia, a 5-meter inflatable globe. And it's installed by a British artist and sculptor Luke Jerram. This is beautiful, and this installation will reflect high definition imagery of the Earth's surface with the NASA data coming in. So you are coming, when you come to the Science Center and look at this Gaia, this centerpiece, you are in a way as if looking from outer space. Yeah. We want to create that experience as what was described earlier.
Yeah, it's great.
So that's a unique
one. It really is impressive.
Very beautiful. Yeah.
Really, I can't wait to see it. I'm going to get over there.
No, and I was just going to ask Titmang, following up from that, what has the reaction been from the public so far? I'm very positive, I'm assuming, I hope.
Oh, it is positive. And of course, we are now talking so much about climate change. In fact, considered even as an emergency, right? I mean, a state of emergency, that if we do not deal with this climate change, global warming issue properly, I think we are heading towards some kind of a doom, so to speak.
Yeah.
So indeed, it's very important, very, very educational. And that Gaia, the centerpiece, is so photogenic. Everybody wants to take pictures with it.
Yeah. And
but we do not want people to just take pictures, but to really remember that this planet is precious.
And just to follow up on that point, you mentioned the word doom there, and statistically, scientifically, it's an accurate word to use. And I'm just curious, Professor Benjamin Horton, I follow you on Instagram and I see your other interviews and I read your commentaries. I always admire your optimism, because as someone who's a keen interest in this area myself, it's hard not to get a little bit disillusioned sometimes when people say, when I get interrogated for being a vegetarian, when I get interrogated for taking public transport, it's hard not to, A, strangle people, it's hard not to use bad words, and it's hard just not to say, you know what, bring on the meat, bring on the carbon emissions, I give up, I'm not changing anything here. How do you stay positive when there's so much cynicism from various generations over climate change, over the climate crisis? How do you do it?
Well, I think, I don't know, I think a lot of it goes to how I was brought up. Mm. You know, you have to have hope in your life. You know, I think people who meet me realise that I'm a nice person to be around. I'm a fun person to be around. They don't go, oh, I don't want to see Professor Horton this evening because all he's going to do is talk about doom and gloom and the end of the world. So I do always think you have to have a positive message on climate change. And where that comes from is not only my personality. It's because I work at a university. So I work at a university and I'm surrounded by some bright, very, very special, bright young minds every day at Nanyang Technological University. Mm. And you have to think that these people will provide the solutions to allow us to be prosperous on the planet. You know, these people, you speak to the young people, they are not going to be stopped by this. And so education, just like the exhibit at the Science Centre, is so important. Because if you don't educate people, then they don't know there's a problem, and therefore they won't direct their energy, their intelligence, their careers to solve it, because it is our big problem. But we can take some heart from the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right now, we have vaccines, the first ever vaccines to be created within a pandemic.
Correct.
And who were they created by? They weren't created by politicians. Mm. They weren't created by social media stars. It didn't matter what nice words you said. They were created by young, smart scientists.
Yeah.
Mm. And young, smart scientists will solve climate change. Educate them, and then the public wants this.
Ben,
and
you know,
then leaders will follow. And I mean, I think that you can look at positive messages. In the US, Joe Biden ran on the most green campaign ever. The European Union has committed to more stringent controls on carbon. China, South Korea. We need to get every country improving their carbon dioxide emissions. And I think for the first time, I think Biden's election was crucial, because now you have the US, the European Union and China, the three largest economies. And for the first time, I start to think that the Paris Agreement is within reach.
Yeah, and of course, Biden has mentioned that the U.S. will rejoin the Paris Agreement, which was summarily jumped away from 4 years ago. So that's all good news, for, most definitely. And Ben, when you look at the work, you know, that you've been doing at the Earth Observatory, it's very, very technical. It's very, you know, very much to the point of what's happening with our climate change. When you were helping to design this particular exhibit, what things did you take into consideration, given the fact that it would be families, younger people, and obviously, you know, you would have had to approach this this new Earth Alive exhibit in a slightly different way, right, to communicate those messages in a way that could be heard by a more consumer audience. How did you view that process to put this together?
Well, the Earth Observatory of Singapore is what is called the Research Centre of Excellence. So that has a large amount of governmental funding to basically produce an institute that can look at fundamental science questions. So we look at fundamental science questions on geohazards, so from earthquakes to volcanoes, tsunamis, and then also climate change, in particular sea level rise and tropical cyclones. So we do this fundamental science. But the Earth Observatory of Singapore is special because it also puts large amounts of money, time, and we have some brilliant scientists who work in our communication office. So they're actually specialists for taking our information and delivering it to different audiences. Mm. So that's what was unique, and that's why this partnership with the Science Centre was so seamless, because we have the scientists who are always used to at EOS to work with communication people, because they're the people who can help design the exhibits at the Science Centre. We've got an exhibit on Sentosa, and then we do a variety of different forms of media, from social media to translating our articles to different languages. So it's really, really important that within the Earth Observatory we can translate our fundamental science. Because if we go back to climate change, one of the reasons why there hasn't been action on it is that the scientific community, its usual role is to write academic papers and policy reports, and they assume the government would react. And we've been trying this for 30 years. Right. It's only more recently that we've realized, well, we have to engage the public. And this science centre, it's a beautiful science centre. It shows, it showcases the magnificence of planet Earth in a series of interactive displays. So, you know, children and parents and guardians can go there and they can learn how the Earth works. So it takes them beyond textbooks, social media. You know, they can get their hands dirty and really understand how the Earth works.
Well, and what else it is, Ben, and this is for Tit Meng, is shock horror, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's actually fun. Yeah. My daughter enjoyed it. She loved it. She did the sensational Christmas experience. And I wasn't sure if she would like it, to be honest. I thought she was a bit of, you know, she's a 12-year-old TikTok hipster. Yeah. I thought it was all, but no, she got the sensational Christmas experience on her app. And off we went, and she did all of it, and we went around every exhibition, and it was great. It was fun. So, Tip Meng, very briefly, just tell us a bit about that.
Well, the sensational trail that you talk about is almost like role-playing. You join our elves to help solve problems, challenges, to help Santa, and using signs to find out the magic behind Christmas, so to speak. So you can also go to workshop, you can create LEDs, light up, and let's play with Christmas. LED as in LEDs, the LEDs lights. So it is actually a hands-on co-creating kind of experience. And in the Earth Observatory, there are also family challenges. You actually work as a team to try to complete the mission that will help to so-called reduce carbon dioxide emission and so on. Mm. So we put all these signs into interactivity, and we built in with the Christmas theme. And that's why we call it the sensational Christmas.
No, it's very good. And Ben, just briefly, maybe give you the last word. I like the fact you're always so optimistic when you come on this show. It's the holiday season. What's your optimistic takeaway, where we are, where we're going with regards to climate change?
Well, I recently wrote an editorial for Channel News Asia last week, and it was about the hope of climate change. I think I've just said it with Joe Biden, with Joe Biden being elected, I think for the first time that the Paris Agreement is within reach. Mm. And meeting the Paris Agreement is very, very crucial because it keeps our temperatures not raising more than a degree centigrade from where they are now. And it's important, that threshold, because if you go beyond that, you cause catastrophic extinctions, particularly of our marine life in our corals, and you cause the demise of the Antarctic and the Greenland ice sheet. And that has a particular impact here in Singapore, because we have a third of our land in a low elevation zone, subject to flooding if those ice sheets collapse. Mm. So the Science Centre talks about that, has an exhibit on sea level rise and its interactions with storms and tsunamis. So that's my message for the end of the year, is that I think we can have hope on climate change, just like we have hope on the vaccine for COVID. But we need to continue to listen to the experts. Countries that listen to the experts on COVID have done significantly better than the ones that didn't. And on climate change, unlike COVID, there is no vaccine. And that's a very important thing. We've got the warning from the experts about climate. There's going to be no vaccine. And why I just say that to finish with is that to do with an ice sheet, if we raise our temperatures a degree C from today, our ice sheets melt. Do you know how long it takes to regrow an ice sheet? What happened within a year, it happens within 100,000 years.
Hey, Ben, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. We're coming up against the top of the hour. We'd love to have both of you on again, you know, anytime, as you well know. Professor Benjamin Horton, Director of the Earth Observatory, and Associate Professor Lim Tit Meng, Chief Executive of the Science Center, the new Earth Alive display at the Science Center. Everybody get out there. Thanks for coming on, gents. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.